Blog Talk Radio. family. All right. Getting everything together. How's everybody doing out there? Peace and love to everybody within the sound of my voice. You are listening to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. Blessings and peace and love and light. Welcome to episode 78. Whoo, honey. Mm-hmm. I am your happy hostess with the mostest, Queen Amina. I hope everybody had a beautiful weekend. And I hope everyone was able to get some really good reflection after that wonderful full moon that we had. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. It's known as the Beaver full moon. And in Native American culture, it corresponds to the beaver getting their dams together to prepare for wintertime. So it was definitely a signal and a sign to us as human beings to make sure we have all our ducks in a row as the winter solstice steadily approaches. You know, make sure you have everything that you need. We got real interesting things happening in our world, so I would just say that preparation is key. You know, stock up on extra water, batteries, non-perishable foods and, you know, things that you can store for a long time. If you're interested in learning how to can or make sealed, vacuum-sealed mason jars with food, this would be a good time to learn how to do that if you're interested. You know, depending on where you are, those of us in the north, you know, we're not necessarily planting at this time. But if you're in a southern region, if you're where it's nice and warm, you can continue to plant, and you'll be able to yield something within about 8 weeks. Yeah, preparation is key, very, very important. And I also believe in that wonderful old adage of when preparation meets opportunity, it is luck. So as we move into the winter solstice, as the days get shorter, up until the 21st of December. Use this time to prepare. Use this time to reflect. Use this time to plan. Not just a New Year's resolution, but a life's resolution. What do you want to see happen in your life? Give yourself, you know, what you call it, a six-month plan, two-year plan, five-year plan, 10-year plan. You know, get with it. Write it down. It's important, I think, to document certain things that you want to have happen. There is power in the pen. You know, they used to say the pen is mightier than the sword. I believe that to a certain extent, for real, because things that are written that can come to fruition are very powerful. And when you utilize a mantra where you say something over and over again, or a yantra, where you use a symbol, and you're focusing on this symbol to gain enlightenment and to project something so that you can manifest something in your reality. These are really important aspects to being alive and being human, and what we don't realize is actually how much power we really have. We tend to dismiss it. And, you know, it's funny, everybody's so crazy. I feel like we are living in Babylon for real, like babble, babble, babble. Because when I'm dealing with ancient science and I'm dealing with ancient spiritual systems, not religions, spiritual systems, each of them are so poignant and powerful that they all reflect the fact that you yourself are the creature's creator having a human experience. You are a spirit that is housed by a body, but you are not the body. And you can use the body as a vehicle. You can use the body to communicate. You use the body to feel and touch and experience life, you know, eat things and experience sickness and wellness and all the polarities that we have to experience in the physical form. However, do not negate the fact that you are an almighty spirit, an almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent energy that cannot be created nor destroyed, and it dwells within you. It is what animates all of us. And so, again, the universe is so fly and so beautiful in its multiplicitousness, if you will, that then you have the stars, you have the zodiac. And within astrology, each and every one of us have our birth chart. And so there's a lot of information in that birth chart. I talk about this a lot, not to be like I'm Swami or something, because I'm so not. But, and I also suggest that you consult like real master astrologers like my sister Ty Phoenix and the Hood Healer and different individuals like that who really know what they're talking about. But, I mean, you can still go to cafeastrology.com and get your full neonatal report. You can get your whole birth chart for free. So I utilize this a lot when I'm working with different clients and I'm dealing with different people or I'm having very serious interpersonal relationships. I want to know who I'm working with, okay, whether we're forming a business together or a partnership, we're working together, whether it's going to be an intimate relationship, something that will involve my heart and my energy. I really think it's important to understand who you're dealing with. And so I utilize those things, if you will. I utilize astrology in order to really get a gauge on who it is that I'm interacting with. Very, very important. It's very important because everybody has their own little blueprint, and that blueprint is your chart. So we have to realize, again, like, just don't negate that, because I think we downplay it a lot, and a lot of people give every single bit of the power and the glory and everything to Jesus or to whoever, and you're giving it all away to another entity. Not that that entity is not beautiful and loving. Of course it is. But even in the message of a Christos, even in the message of Yeshua, the Christ that came in the Piscean era to give us that particular message, because, you know, there were many, many other Christs. And so I don't really fully feel that Yahshua was the last Christ. I don't feel that way, because Christ and Christos have been coming to humanity since the beginning of humanity. And so I don't think that that's really going to end, because you always have to have enlightened individuals, and individuals who are way more enlightened than seemingly the rest of us, that can help to raise us up and raise our spiritual energies up and help us to overcome things as well. So be careful in how you rock with that. I mean, we are in the age of Aquarius, so this is not a Piscean mentality, duality, vibration, none of that. Pisces is gone, is over, it's finished, okay? So that whole fish swimming in opposite directions is over, okay? It is Aquarian energy. It is pouring out of water, pouring out of truth, okay? Liberation, yes, for women, because water, women are represent water, and water represents female energy. So that pouring out, also that pouring out also represents cleansing, okay, even if it comes in the form of a deluge, but it's cleansing, okay? We know that I think we're in the sixth Earth cycle right now, because, you know, Earth has been through a lot, and humanity has been through a lot on her for millennia. So here we are, and I also say, I don't want us to get too panicky or uptight or paranoid, if you will, about any impending doom. There's always room for a miracle, and I definitely believe in miracles. I've seen them happen, so I'm not one to say, oh, it's just written in stone, and this is what it is, and, oh, we don't have any choices, and, oh, it's going to be... No, stop. Everything is subject to change. Real talk. And I want to also emphasize, I'm off the cuff right now, but I do have a script I'm going to follow, but right now Spirit is just telling me to talk about this. We as melanin-dominant people have really got to get it together. We're really, like, a mess. I love us with everything I have, but it seems to me that we have a propensity, because of our experience and because of our indoctrination, because of our enslavement, because of all the murders and the separations of families and all the trauma and the rape and the sodomy and just all the nastiness that we have had to endure in the past 500 years, 500 plus actually, a lot of us have lost our way. And so that's why you can get someone who was a crack dealer and a pimp to become a pastor and have a flock. And then everybody wants to trip out when the pastor is either manipulating and abusing young boys or if he's abusing the women in the flock of the congregation sexually. People get all surprised. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, look at who you're working with. And it's not that people can't be saved, that people can't change. Of course people can change. Of course people can grow. But sometimes to me, there's a little bit of audacity when I see someone who's led such a horrific life in terms of the choices that they made to manipulate other people, kill people, pimp women and young girls and maybe even some boys, and then all of a sudden you give it all up to God and now you want to be an advocate in a way of a pastor or a reverend. That kind of takes me to another place sometimes. I'm like, I don't have any problem with that individual finding themselves and finding their spiritual self and wanting to be in a congregation or follow the word and just do their best and be their best person, that's fine. But I just think it's interesting when the tables turn and all of a sudden it becomes this huge empire and then they want to be like Creflo Dollar and have their own plane. I'm like, okay, you just went from one thing to another. Like, you're still pimping out the people. Like, you're still dealing to the people as far as I'm concerned. So we have a lot of charlatans. That's a nice old word. We got a lot of charlatans at the pulpit and in different places that charlatans should not be. So we've got to be careful who we put our trust in, and that's why I really always emphasize putting your trust in yourself and putting your trust in the Almighty Creator of the entire universe. I don't really call it God. I might do that on a casual just for people to realize where I'm coming from, but I don't call it God. If I do, I call it Goddess God, but I don't call it just God. And then there are so many other indications in the English language, which was, dyslexic, and so they read things backwards. So if it's backwards, then you're talking about a dog. Are you worshiping a dog? Do you know that you might possibly be worshiping a dog? Because the ancient languages, a lot of the ancient languages, including Islam, do not read the way that we read. You feel me, fam? We read from left to right. They read from right to left. Think about that for a second. A lot of our ancient text is written from the right side to the left side, not the way we write now, where we write starting at the left and moving to the right. Do you feel me, family? And this is also because everything was moving to the heart. The heart is very, very key in ancient spiritual systems. In any system that you're in, your heart is very, very, very important. And I don't know if y'all realize that. And I talk about it a lot when I deal with the chakras and so forth, because you have to realize that if your heart chakra is not open, then your throat, nor your third eye, nor your crown will ever, ever open. It's not possible. Your heart chakra is a gateway into the higher dimensions of thought and enlightenment. And so it has to be open and spinning properly. And so I'm saying all this to say that when your systems get taken over by a barbarian, when your systems get taken over by an indigent, ignorant, illiterate entity, okay, that is very, very violent, dangerous, murderous, and your entire systems are taken over by such entity, what do you think going to happen? You think it's going to stay the same? No. This is why we're writing from left to right. We're moving away from the heart when we write. And yeah, I'm getting a little deep because I want y'all to follow me, because there's so much that's wrong in how our world is set up right now, and we continue to be astonished when we see things continue to go wrong. I don't know why y'all are surprised. This current system that we're in of patriarchy, misogyny, death. We live in a culture that celebrates death. We live in a culture that celebrates tricking people, lying to people. We're inculcated in this culture. So you got to do your work to really not be attached to it the way they want you to be attached to it. This is why I stress turning off the television. Yeah, we can watch things. I'm not saying we can't watch things, but don't be a slave to it. Don't be a slave to letting these subconscious messages be pounded into your unconscious, and all of a sudden you're doing and or feeling a kind of way that you probably wouldn't have felt before if you weren't indulging in television. Again, our brains are amazing. We are processing over 6 billion bits of information per second. So when you see these television commercials and everything is flash imagery, or even the subliminal images that are literally on a dark screen in between the commercial, your brain picks it up. Your eyes barely pick it up, but your brain can pick it up. There's so much subliminal stuff going on, and a lot of us are really naive. Naive. Even the new Taco Bell commercial with the two cats that see each other, I think, on a train platform or something, and they've got ram's head horns on their heads and carrying swords and what have you, and then the bell goes off because his sword hits the garbage can, and all of a sudden he's in a trance to go back to Taco Bell and buy whatever that thing is that he's eating. The ram's horns on a human also represent Capricorn, which could also represent the Baphomet, which is one of the largest symbols for the satanic church. They don't have halos on their heads and other things that they could be wearing. Are you following me? It's similar to when they were having those television commercials for, I think it was for dating. I don't know if it was eHarmony, but it might have been like some online dating. And the little white woman is in love with the devil. He's actually the devil. He's big. He's red. He's got big horns. He's sitting next to her in a movie theater or whatever. They're on a date. She's dating the devil. This is the culture we're living in. Okay, you got Helltown on Broadway. I've covered this before, but I'm doing this because I know some of you miss episodes, you don't catch up to things sometimes, or you might completely miss it. So whoever is listening to me and whoever can hear me, like, real talk, we've got to be more cognizant about what it is that we're doing and engaging in. Especially as melanin-dominant people, we hold the highest vibration of energy in a human on this planet. I'll say that one more time. As melanin-dominant human beings, black people worldwide, even dark Indians, black Filipinos, and people in Papua New Guinea and Togo and wherever else we are, melanin-dominant people hold the highest vibration of life on this planet. It is from us that every other human has been created. Every other human, whether he be Asian with slanted eyes, whether she be light-skinned with red hair, okay, y'all better understand what red hair and freckles are, okay? Them gingers are serious. What's a freckle? A melanated dot. I know some white people with so many freckles that they look that they could be black because the freckles is so many. Okay? And it's funny that they're called freckles because it's really a fractal. It's like a fractal of melanated energy that's concentrated in a spot on the skin. Think about that for a minute. So we're way more powerful than we can ever, ever actualize or understand. And we get lost in this. And then we want to look like other people, or we want to date outside of ourselves because we feel like maybe we'll have some prestige, or we'll look a little bit like, you know, we got it really together because, you know, I got a white man, or, you know, I got a white wife, so, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, 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 not only did you corrupt your gene pool, but you also have a propensity to live a life of confusion. My husband and I were speaking about this last night. Now, I've never dated interracially. I've had, like, I went out one time for lunch with a white man who turned out to be a great friend. No romantic anything at all. But I know other people who have dated outside of their own, I don't like to call it race, but their own color and culture. And so I think that what people realize, you can be attracted to somebody. I mean, of course you could be attracted to anybody. But when it comes down to having a very serious, intimate relationship with someone, you really got to be careful. Because especially as a black person who's dealing with someone interracially, they're never going to understand your culture. And what happens when current events like we have going on right now with these stupid trials, Rittenhouse trial and these crazy McMichael people and what have you, and you want to have a conversation about this? What if the person that you're dating is on their side because they're like, well, he shouldn't have been there, or why was he running, or whatever, something stupid? How you going to handle that? See, these are the things I think about because I'm very politically charged. I'm enlightened. So my depth of conversation is going to definitely come out on the other side of the planet, and it wouldn't bode well for me to be married to a white person. No offense at all. Yes, I got many, 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 many white friends. Yes, I have grown up with white children. I went to white schools. I have had white coworkers. So I've run the gamut, you know what I'm saying? I've been on tour with many amazing white musicians and singers and talented dancers and wonderful people. That's all well and good. I'm talking about when it comes down to having your serious one-on-one intimate relationship, significant other intimate relationship. I know for myself that that would be difficult because I'm very politically charged for my people. Okay, like Black Panther charged for my people. So we might have a little bit of a discrepancy if, you know, everybody's looking at it like, oh, it's just cute, like Kim and Kanye used to be or whatever, even though she's Armenians and Armenians are people of color. But just, you know, I'm trying to think of another relationship. Like, just different people who just come together. And I might be cute in Hollywood, honey, but in the real world, it's a lot of things in the real world. You know, and I want to be able to speak freely and express myself about whatever it is that I feel. And I am not trying to hurt anybody's feelings with truth. But I was raised in truth. And so I know who these people are, and I know where they come from. I know their origin, just like they want to talk about they know our origin. They know our origin, but they keep it a secret and try to steal our identity as their own when that is not the case at all. So that's why I'm starting to get a little ticked off, because as we move into these helly days, you know, I don't, you know, really celebrate holidays, okay? I will celebrate winter time and bring cheer into the house because it's a very dark time. That Capricorn energy is very dark and constrictive, and it's just unsettling. So, yeah, I'll bring cheer into the house, but you ain't going to see Santa Claus in here, honey, okay? And you're not going to see pilgrims in here either, okay? So we're going to have dinner on Thursday because we're giving thanks for our ancestors who were slaughtered. We're giving thanks for our existence in spite of that slaughter. We're giving thanks for the ancestors that pushed through all of the madness and the mayhem and the cruelty. Every one of them, we're giving thanks for that. So that we're going to get together and we're going to eat for that. But it's not a pilgrim Thanksgiving. Please believe me when I tell you, because I've covered this before last year and probably the year before on this same show, and you can go back in the archives and dig it. But Thanksgiving Day was actually a massacre, and it was a massacre that was originally ordered, I believe, by the vice president at the time, and they wanted to continue to get rid of as many Native Americans as they could. So this particular uprising of the pilgrims against, or not pilgrims, just white people, against the Native American, the Wampanoag specifically, and the Passoit Indians, they waged war on them after they fed them. So, like, imagine you invite people over for dinner and you know they're hungry because they ain't got nothing. And then they turn around and kill you and your family for dessert. Nice, right? Okay, so that is what Thanksgiving is. And that's where the birth of football comes in, because they cut off the chief and his son's heads and kick them around on the ground. And that's why a football looks the way it looks, because it's really indicative of a Native American person's head. That's why it's red, it's oblong, okay? It's not round, it's not perfectly round. It's one of the only balls that we play with that's not round. Or white. Or yellow. And it's always funny, because when you're looking at sports in general and you look at all the balls, it's the big colored balls that have mostly African-American, Afro-Caribbean, Afro-Pacific individuals playing on those teams, whether it's basketball, football, rugby, soccer, okay? Those balls are colored. Those are balls of color. Even the soccer ball is generally black and white. But the little balls, like the golf balls, tennis balls didn't always used to be yellow. They were white in the beginning. Baseball, white. Golf balls were predominantly white. So the little balls were for white men. And it took a lot of time and energy and push to get us to play in every single arena. But it definitely took, even though Jackie Robinson was the first African-American to join the National Baseball League, it took a lot of time for us to break into golf and tennis. A lot of time. Okay? They let us on the field. Okay? They knew we were big and strong, so we could be linebackers and what have you. We're just now becoming the quarterbacks. Okay? And that's in the last, I want to say, 10, 15 years that we're becoming quarterbacks. We're able to be the one to throw the play, throw the ball, set up the whole situation, you know, make sure we get it into the end zone, get that touchdown, da 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 da. Seriously, we're just now becoming eligible and able visually to become quarterbacks, even though they had let us become quarterbacks before we'd have been off the chain. Back to Thanksgiving, that is the origin of the so-called holiday. And after the massacre occurred the first time, the governor, I want to say, was it Virginia, that said, let's make this annual. And in the annualness of it, kill as many Native Americans as you can. Now, that's pretty deep and exciting, if I say so myself. Okay? So that's what we're talking about with regards to what we call Thanksgiving. You know, you have people that are petitioning to call it Olmec Day, named after the amazing Olmec people who were the first Africans to come here after the Twa people came here, because you've only got a small group of who we call original family all over the world, okay? And I had received some of this information from amazing brother Dr. Kaba Kamene, also known as Dr. Booker T. Coleman. My mother used to work with him back in the day, and he's an amazing master teacher, and he does these Quibinar webinars on a regular basis on Instagram and on YouTube and what have you. If you're interested in knowing who you are as a melanin-dominant person, definitely look him up on Instagram, Kaba Kamene, K-A-B-A, the Kaba, like your soul, Kamene, K-A-M, I think it's either E-N-E or A-N-E, but if you put in Kaba, I'm sure it's going to come up, okay? He's an amazing genius. And so he talks about, you know, the original human family, how we're all related, the indigenous original human family, meaning that we're going from the Twa Mbutu people of Central and South Africa, along with the Moesha Khoisan people of South Africa. These are your first humans ever. Then you go all the way to the Ainu of Japan, the Champa from Vietnam, like Nag Champa, I'll get back to that in a second, from Vietnam, the Negrito from the Philippines, Okay, and the Paleo-Americano from America, the original Native American, who's black. All right? So I get real tired of these narratives that always want to say that we didn't do anything and we didn't go anywhere and we had bones in, you know, in our noses and we run around naked, uncivilized, blah, 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 blah. Listen. We were and still are some of the most civilized people on this planet. Now, some of us have become demented. Some of us have lost our marbles. Some of us are not there. That's true. Okay? But considering what's been done to us, it's amazing that we're all not cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Because we are the only human beings on this planet who have been treated this way. Okay? Between us and, I would say, the Dalits, of India and the Dalits are black, the black people of India. So you're still black. Black folk worldwide been catching hell forever, ever since the thaw, I call it. So it's very, very interesting when, again, we are written out of history, we're written out of things, or you get something like what we call Thanksgiving, where they force everybody to, you know, celebrate it. If you're learning about Thanksgiving in kindergarten and first grade, you learn Native Americans are savages and that pilgrims are these beautiful, pious people and that they all broke bread and ate together and it was a wonderful kumbaya experience. And that is total bullshit. And I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the children having to learn that because that's a lie. And you want to talk about the Native Americans were savages. No, the invaders were the savages. Native American was chilling. We were chilling, okay? We were, you know, we were at harmony with everything here, everything. The birds, the bees, the planets, the buffalo, the deer, all the animals. We were harmonious and in synchronicity with everything that was alive. And in the flash of an eye, we're dead and losing everything. We're separated. We're forced into slavery. We're forced to walk across the country to the Midwest and die along the way. We're still dying out there to this day. And we're supposed to be excited about these little things that they want to put together and call them holidays. So I'm like, okay, I have, you know, Friday, Thursday and Friday off. That's nice. But I'm like, just take the opportunity to reflect and take the opportunity to give thanks to your ancestors who went through living hell in order for you to be breathing here. And give thanks for that. And give thanks for that fortitude and that tenacity. Give thanks for that drive and for that faith to push. Give thanks for that. That's what I give thanks for. Because I don't give a damn about a pilgrim. All right, next up after that, we got Xmas, Christmas time, which is the most misunderstood holiday known to humankind. I'm going to say it again. The most misunderstood holiday known to humankind. They want you to believe that you're celebrating the birth of Yeshua. Yeshua was not born in December, let alone on the 25th. Yeshua wasn't born anywhere near December. And those who have studied the true life of Yeshua realize that he was born around the constellation of Virgo, which is September, late August into September. And it would also make sense for Yeshua to be born at that time because Virgo is the great communicator. So for someone who led the band of thieves and flocks of people and did sermons on the mountain, on the rock, and in the cave and every other where, that makes sense. The great communicator. Mercury rules Virgo. Mercury is the planet of communication, dexterity, la la la. So it would make sense for Yeshua to be a Virgo, to be very chatty, and to have a lot of knowledge, insight, and information to share, and to be able to communicate that fully, clearly to humanity. That makes sense. It doesn't really make sense to me for Yeshua to be a Capricorn. It doesn't. I'm sorry. It does not at all. It does not. Because Yeshua represented freedom. Capricorn is restriction, constriction. Yahshua was the complete opposite of that. Freedom, love, love of each other, love thy neighbor as thyself, loving his wife, Miriam, loving his homies, a.k.a. disciples. And if you push it all the way into a metaphysical outlook and he'd say he has no existence at all, don't come for me, I'm just saying. From a metaphysical aspect, the whole foundation of Christos has to deal with your pineal gland becoming enlightened and open as your 33 vertebrae, which is why he died at 33, your 33 vertebrae, which lead up your spine, which is Jacob's ladder, all the way into your brain, hello, all the way past your pituitary gland into your pineal gland, which is the superior gland, really, really small, about the size of the tip of your pinky, but it looks like a pine cone. That's why it's called pineal. We've got this in biblical stories. I believe it was Jacob who was wrestling with somebody, and when he was finished with whatever, he called it pineal. He had to use his mind in order to get out of the situation that he was in. He had to open up that part of his brain in order to become enlightened, to remove himself from the hell that he was seeing. So you can look at it, I'm going to skip that. It's not coming out right now. But you can look at it from a human standpoint as a person, or you can look at it from a metaphysical aspect in terms of you having to become a Christ in your own right, in your own time. You being responsible for your own enlightenment so that you will move up all the vertebrae into your pineal gland to activate your pineal gland to open up and bring you into a state of true illuminated enlightenment. Either way, whether we're allegorical or we're actually physical, they can still be parallel. And I'm throwing this out there because there have been so many things attached to the birth of Yahshua that had nothing to do with Yahshua. So then we start going into Santa Claus. Now, you can either have St. Nicholas, which is the story of the dark brown complexion Turkish monk who would leave coins and candies in stockings on the windowsills of the orphanages back in the day. This is like in the early 500s or whatever. Okay? You know, that's the legend of St. Nicholas. Then that gets turned into Santa Claus. Now, what's interesting is that you actually have a Santa Clausis part of your brain, which literally comes down the brainstem and the spine and then goes back up. So it's very similar to Santa Claus coming down the chimney to deliver gifts and then going back up the chimney to leave. All these things parallel with each other, and they're really, really deep, and most of it has been turned into allegory. So now we've got a fat white man who lives in the North Pole with a big red nose and rosy cheeks, and, you know, he's wearing this red and white suit, and he's driving a sleigh with 8 reindeer, and, yeah, okay. Like, it just morphs into more and more and more things, when not a piece of it is really true. Not a piece. But yet, how many of you are running out to take your child to go sit on Santa's lap in a mask, I might add, which is absolutely insane. But how many people right now are running out to find Santa Claus so they can take that picture with their baby, with their kid? Oh, we just got to have Santa with Boo-Boo. We just got to make sure that you know, we get Boo-Boo on Santa's lap and we have the photo shoot. Okay. Meanwhile, African people, we celebrate Kwanzaa, which is the first fruit, which means the first coming of the first harvest. Because in Africa, their harvest will yield in December, certain parts of Africa. And so it's called first fruit. And we're celebrating all of the plentiness of the fruits and vegetables, the harvest that comes forth to feed us and sustain us for another year of life. That is way more deeper than Christmas. And I know a lot of Christians are like, well, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and so on and so forth. And I'm like, okay. But I find it interesting that you made somebody else your Savior when you're supposed to save yourself. And most of the things in the Gospels that were related to Yahshua were deliberately removed from the Bible because they completely contradicted the stupid story. If you study the Nicene Council, if you study Arius, if you study, like, what went on there, and why is it that Constantine wanted to put this umbrella of Christendom all over everywhere when all of the priests were like, that's not true? Because he wanted to control the people. He wanted to have dominion over the people and control the people. He did not give a ding-dang golly-wally about Yahshua. He wasn't interested in the Trinity. He wasn't interested in being righteous or pious or any of those wonderful things. As you very well know, this man was a murderer. He killed his own family members. So how righteous is that? How godly is that? So when we think about these things and we want to get together, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting together, but I am one, I'm an advocate for truth, and I believe that humanity needs to know the truth. We benefit from truth. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's ugly, we benefit from truth. So before you go out and spend $1 million to give everybody and their grandmother stuff that they already have, think about it. If anything, I might just urge you, donate to a charity. Donate to Sister Penny at the Stand Foundation, who's got the equine therapy with the young children in the Baltimore, Maryland area and D.C., where she's doing therapy through horses with these children. Donate to her. Look up the Stand Foundation, S-T-A-N-D. Put your money over there. Okay? Give money to Treehouse Cares. Okay, look that up. That's a very powerful organization in Newark where they give coats and clothes and turkeys and all kind of stuff and hot food to the homeless on a regular basis. Give your money to that. It'll go a long way. Target don't need your money. Macy's don't need your money, and neither does K Jewelers. Donate. Help those who are less fortunate. Try to make a way for somebody else. Or pay it forward. Buy somebody's groceries. You know, you could be right online with them right when they're getting ready to pay the cashier. Be like, I got this. And you pay for their groceries, even if it's $100 and something. Pay for their, God will bless you so much, you don't even understand. You don't even understand. But all this other pomp and circumstance or whatever, please. Please, please, please. We've got to detach from some of that. We've got to detach from it. And it doesn't mean that you can't decorate. It doesn't mean that you can't have people over for dinner, that you can't have a good time and have some merriment. No, it doesn't mean that at all. I'm just saying think a little bit beyond a bit, okay? It's not so much about sleigh rides and skating and looking at the tree at Rockefeller Center. It's not come on. Because people are in trouble, and a lot of people are unemployed. A lot of people are about to be homeless. A lot of people are in the hospital. We got a lot of children in the hospital. Buy some toys for them. Your kids are fine. They got what they need. So I just want you to think out of the box a little bit, because the box is killing us. It's killing us. Everywhere I look, it's like we don't love who we are. We acting like wild banshees. You know, they keep putting up these individuals who act like they're celebrities or that they're some type of role model, and they are not. They're leading your children straight to hell in a handbasket. Y'all can't see that? You can't hear the difference if you turn on the radio and this demonic music that's coming out? You can't hear that? You don't know the difference? And if you don't know the difference, I suggest you kind of check yourself. Because if that's the case, you're going to be all up in Satan's clutches. You're just going to be all up in there because he's just going to have fun with you and your kids. And I see it. I see these adults tripping. I see people wilding out. Everybody want to twerk and carry on. I saw a video the other day. They sitting up in church and they singing gospel. And the chick is in the congregation twerking in the congregation. They were like, is this too much? I'm like, what's going on here? And what does this have to do with salvation? Hello? See, we love to get together to feel good. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let it be that. Turn it into something all sanctimonious and that you're going to receive the Holy Ghost and all this other kind of stuff and you want to put on a show or whatever you're dealing with and so on and so forth just to get some attention. Or don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. And I know you can catch the Holy Ghost. I've caught the Holy Ghost about 2 times in my whole life. And both times, all it did was sit me down, make me cry, and be very overwhelmed with love and happiness. I didn't run around. I wasn't running up and down. I didn't do cartwheels and back handsprings up and down the aisle. I didn't do all that. I was in the middle of singing, actually, on the choir pew. I had to sit down twice in my life. So I know the power of spirit can definitely be overwhelming, and it can take over and fill you with joy. That's fantastic. I am not negating that or poo-pooing that in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I'm talking about those of you who get involved in the weave and fashion show just to go to attend service and maybe, like, catch somebody or whatever you're trying to do, and it ain't got nothing to do with salvation and love or a Christos mentality. I'm calling you all out. Because y'all ain't helping either. I can't stand it when I hear people talk want to be all sanctimonious and yet you act like the straight devil yourself. Judgmental, nasty, don't take care of yourself, don't handle your business properly, you barely wash yourself or your clothes, you got something to say about everybody all the damn time. Really? But you want to claim to be so sanctimonious. Really? Really? That's fierce. That's awesome. You understand what I'm saying? So as we move into this quote-unquote holiday season, let's just be mindful about what we're choosing to celebrate because you can flip it and do whatever you want to do with it. I say you customize it into making it what you want it to be. Okay? Just like I said, this Thursday, yeah, we're going to get together with family and friends, but we're going to celebrate our ancestors and our existence as a people, and we will give reverence for that. Okay? And we will give love and light to all of the rest of us around the world who've had to deal with this crazy system that we live in. That's what we'll be doing on Thursday. Some people fast. Some people don't eat at all. Whatever you decide to do, enjoy it, but be conscious in it. That's what I'm asking. I'm asking for consciousness. Okay. Trying to make sure I'm covering what I'm covering. Okay, so as I mentioned, in my edit for tonight's show, I said, okay, we're going to talk about a couple of other little things, like especially how justice seems to be absent in this nation when it comes to people of color. I find that very interesting. Excuse me. The trials that we are currently witnessing, the Rittenhouse trial from last week, which was just an abomination of justice in this world, period. Not even just this nation, but justice in this world. It's like, oh, my God, it's dead. It's dead. And I had to put a post out to the world because I wanted people to realize, because everybody was really up in arms and really upset, and I wasn't excited, trust me, but I also know that karma is alive and well. So although he may have been able to get over on the quote-unquote judicial system of which there was no real justice, karma will get him. He will get what's coming to him. He will be met with grave discomfort. He will be met with whatever wickedness he has dealt upon others, he will be met with it. And so I just lay back and let that rock out. I'm like, he gonna get it. He will get it. So don't worry, all right? I'm not coming for him. I don't even need to come for him. He gonna get it. He's gonna get it all unto himself. So all them tears, them crocodile tears he was crying in court, the real water will fall, okay, because he's going to feel it. He thinks he got over. Okay, the boy done had photo shoots with the KKK, the Proud Boys, and all of this kind of stuff. Did you know that it was the KKK and the Proud Boys that posted his bail, predominantly the Proud Boys posted his bail? Then once he got out, he's taking pictures with them. He's taking pictures with the sheriffs and all these other people, all these retarded people, pardon me. No offense to anyone who's mentally disabled, but I'm talking about straight retardation is what I have been seeing in these trials. Judge Schroeder should be removed from the bench. His Frankenstein ass needs to be removed from the bench. Sitting up in the trial, and then here comes Donald Trump's theme song that used to play in all of his, at all of his rallies and what have you, and this is the ringtone for the judge. Oh, but you're supposed to be impartial. You're supposed to be fair, not unbiased. The hell out of here. We know what we saw. Okay, now we're waiting. You know, we're going to be dealing with deliberation soon on the Ahmaud Arbery trial. Okay, the defense has been pretty good. I think they could have been stronger in certain things, but it's just interesting. But I'm still not getting myself excited because these crackers can get off, and I'm not trying to use that to be too derogatory, but I'm so serious. Did you know that the origin of the word crackers comes from firecrackers and the smell of sulfur? And that black people would say that that's what white people smell like because they have more sulfur in them than we do. So when they start to smell, it's the sulfur that you smell from them. And that's where we get the word cracker from. Just a quick side note. You know, I believe in studying origins. Where did this come from? When did this start? When did we start saying this? When did we start doing that? I'm a firm, firm researcher of origin. Very important for me because other stuff, later stuff, I can't co-sign. Like, I can't co-sign the Mormons. I don't co-sign the Seventh Day Adventists. I do not co-sign Jehovah's Witness. I don't co-sign that. They're so new. You have no relevance in religion. So, no. If you did not happen, around the time of, like, the last real religion that comes into play is Islam, period. That's the last seal. That's it. After that, that's it. There's no more religions after that. There are no more supreme faith systems after that. So the three that I just mentioned, which were predominantly created to divert humanity away from the three major religions of the West. This was an Illuminist and Masonic charge that was put out. Okay, so you had Charles Taze Russell, and you had Brigham Young, and you had whoever else that decided, okay, well, we're going to create new religions based on nothing. We're going to run with it, though. And now you have these predatory religions who will seek to take everything away from you. In Jehovah's Witness, they want to take everything away from you. They want to take your house, everything. So when they do come up and say, oh, the end of the world is going to be May 15th, 2022, at 5 o'clock, the world is going to end, they've done this before, y'all, several times. And their members will then sign over all of their worldly goods, cars, houses, everything, to Jehovah's Witness, to that. And at about 5:05 on that day, when the world is still here, and they go to their leader and they're like, okay, well, can I have my house back or, you know, my car back? They're like, oh, no, it's with Jehovah now. I ain't even BSing with y'all right now. I am dead serious. So, again, we've got charlatans. We got charlatans, y'all. Now, the other thing that was heavy for me is that the bigger smokescreen, okay, the bigger distraction and the bigger, cover-up is the fact that while you had these true trials going neck and neck and neck and neck and la-la-la, the Ghislaine Maxwell trial started last week. Just to remind you, Ghislaine Maxwell was the ex-girlfriend, front person, and recruiter of young girls for the late Jeffrey Epstein and his pedophile mansion in Pedo Island. That trial is underway, untelevised like a mug. They're like, oh, we can't show this one. There are so many people listed in this trial as participants and clients. The list is ridiculous. The list could probably go around a football field, real talk. Apparently, Bill Clinton went to the island at least 27 times, according to the flight manifest. Hillary is also logged into the manifest as being a visitor to Pedal Island many times. We have many other stars, Chrissy Teigen. There's a lot of individuals who've been named to have gone. Even Beyonce. I heard she likes little girls. Sorry. Anyway, you got a lot of people on here. Even Oprah. Good old Opie is in there. There's a lot of people up in this mess, y'all. And so we got to see what happens because we got government officials and celebrities and musicians and entertainers and movie stars, all these high-profile people who are on this manifest, various manifests, for the Lolita Express, which was the name of the plane that took everybody to Pedal Island. Meanwhile, the next island over from Pedal Island happens to be an island that Joe Biden and his family own. Think on that for a minute. I'll let that marinate. I don't know if any of you saw the Instagram post with the little girl in her mother's arms, cute little girl in her mother's arms. She got a little blue coat on, and Joe Biden is, you know, trying to, you know, get all up in her face with the coochie coo and all of that kind of stuff, and he goes to touch her, and she karate chops him. The shit is hilarious. Pardon me. I was crying. She karate chopped him. She karate chopped his arm and caught a little bit of his face. This little girl, she had to be about 4 years old. She wasn't with it, okay? He went to, like, stroke her arm. She was like, pow! I was like, that's the way you do it, boo-boo. Okay? Okay. Because children know. Children know when something is not right. They may not be able to express it or talk about it, but they can feel it. They know something ain't right. And she was like, who is this nasty old man trying to touch me? No, you're not. Pow! I was like, oh, that was just beautiful. That right there was like the clip of the week for me. I was like, okay, good stuff. So we're going to see how this plays out because mainstream media is not saying a peep about it, really. I'm not seeing it. I'm not hearing about it. I'm hearing about Trump. I'm hearing about Bannon, da-da-da. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it comes to Bannon and all of that, like, whatever. There are larger things that are happening, okay? And amongst that, if we go a step further, you know, the biggest thing that's happening to every one of us is this COVID smokescreen and this mess that they continue to purport upon us and how the flu and bronchitis have just disappeared. For the past 2 years, it's just like, okay, we ain't got no flu and no bronchitis. Everybody just has COVID. Really? With a test that was flawed and was never designed to test for any diseases ever, okay? And then the creator of the test just mysteriously dies in December of 2019, okay? Then you want to push the vax. You want to push the shoddy shot, and you're covering up the fact that people are dropping like flies and dying and becoming deathly ill as a result of receiving the jabby jab. Oh, no, we don't want to talk about that. Now we're at a point where they want to say, the people who are currently hospitalized with the COCO, you know, are unvaccinated people and all this other kind of stuff. And no, baby. The people that are hospitalized are actually people who have been fully, fully jabbed. Okay? When I say fully, I mean fully. Fully. All right? Feel me. Feel me and follow me if you can. All right, even in Israel, and I'd like to talk about Israel a lot because they ain't got no business being over there, so they're getting jacked up. 85 to 90% of the hospitalizations are in fully vaccinated people. Okay. Dr. Kobi Haviv Herzog Hospital, Jerusalem, 95% of the severe patients are vaccinated. 85 to 90% of the hospitalizations are fully fully vaccinated people. The effectiveness of the vaccine is not working. And didn't we know that when we heard fake Fauci and these other puppets come out and say in the same photo op in the same moment, just because you get the shot doesn't mean that you're going to be protected and you won't get it. It's just that your symptoms should be much less. Just because you got it doesn't mean that you can't catch it or spread it. What? So why get it? And again, I get very excited because I'm just finding more and more and more individuals that just do things haphazardly and didn't think. So that's what's getting me, because when we fail to think, honey, we will sink, okay? It's dangerous. It is dangerous for us to run around willy-nilly, like la, 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 and okay. All right. So we have five circuit court, the Fifth Circuit Court of Judges came out and said that they're going to put a halt on this vax mandate. They're like, you know, it's unconstitutional. We don't have enough information. So, we're going to stop. So then, of course, you know, the Biden administration comes out talking about, okay, we've suspended the mandate until further notice due to the recent case with the judges that has said, okay, no, you can't mandate this. Now, what's deep to me is how many people have already gotten it? According to them, millions, right? Okay, so in a way, what's done is done to a certain extent, because you might not have gotten everybody, but you got a nice percentage of the population. So for the individuals who did take heed and wait, I was pushing it, you know, I was pushing it in two ways. Part of me was like, don't do it, okay, because I have a love for humanity, I have a love for life. And don't give it to your children. But even if you're contemplating, wait. Espérate. Wait. 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 Because look at what just happened. Now you got companies that are calling some of their employees back to work that were not jabbed. You know? Also, I wanted to comment that someone has stated that, you know, Congress wouldn't be able to really take action on it, okay, but the judges also doubt that Congress has the authority to compel individuals to get vaccinated like states and local governments do. The Constitution's Commerce Clause has been stretched like a rubber band over the last century to support expansions of federal power in economic areas, but it can't justify mandatory vaccination, which the judges called a non-economic inactivity. So, skadoosh, okay? Like, it's right there in black and white. And yet people have committed suicide over this thing. So much has happened. So I say while we have this moment, while there's this, you know, stay on it, there's this, you know, like halt, this is a good time for dialogue. This is a good time for knowledge and wisdom to be shared, because I find that too many people have made quick judgment with something so detrimental to their life and their livelihood and their health and for money, which is frightening to me. So let's revel in this wait. Okay, let's just wait for it. Let's wait for the wait. How about that? Let me see something. Also, an event had occurred, I think it was earlier today or it was late last night. I know I learned about it this afternoon, that there was an incident in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Law enforcement identified a suspect who allegedly drove through a Christmas parade after fleeing from a knife fight in Waukesha, Wisconsin, on Sunday, killing at least 5 people and injuring at least 48. A violent end to a festive scene where children danced in the street and marched in a marching band that played Jingle Bells. A law enforcement official told the Washington Post that suspect Darrell E. Brooks, Jr., 39, was at the scene of a reported knife fight and that he sped away in his red SUV and when police arrived the scene. Brooks was allegedly behind the wheel when it drove into the parade route. Authorities identified Brooks as the lone subject during a Monday afternoon news conference, adding that he drove right through barricades and the officers at the scene, and at least 10 people who attended, 40 people were injured and 5 people were killed. Now, I don't know. It's interesting to me because this comes right on the heels of the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. So I'm like, did he really come from a knife fight or did he just mow down some folks in a parade because he was angry? I'm trying to figure that part out. But it's just interesting that that occurred right after that verdict. You know, considering the verdict was given when, Thursday, I think? So, you know what I'm saying? It's very interesting that this would occur in this way. I mean, we don't really hear about people driving through parades. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's interesting and kind of heavy. But if I do say one more thing about the Rittenhouse situation, again, this little white boy, when he was 17 years old, shot 3 or 4 people. I know he killed 2 people and definitely wounded one in the arm. And he gets off scot-free. The people who were assaulted and killed were white people. Don't forget. And one of them was, one or two, but one of them, Rosenbaum, that's a very Jewish name. And so we know that the KKK and the Proud Boys and these other very insecure, melanin recessive individuals don't like Jewish people either. And so this is one of the reasons why they were hailing this boy as a hero, because he killed a Jew. You know, he basically killed what they would call, quote-unquote, nigger lovers. Because these people, as I mentioned last week, had come out in protest to the police shooting of Jacob Blake, who was shot 7 times. He was unarmed, but he was shot 7 times by a Kenosha police officer. Now, what I also found very nasty, and stay with me on this one, please. The defense attorney for Rittenhouse, in his closing arguments to the jury, had the audacity, gumption, and overall balls to turn to the jury and say, some people in this community have shot a person 7 times and gotten away with it. My client only shot 4 times. Now, what's gruesome is that he's making a reference to the shooting of Jacob Blake, who, as I just said, was shot 7 times. He was shot 4 times in the back and 3 times in the side, and he is permanently paralyzed as a result of this. In that particular case, the police officer got off scot-free. There were no charges that were even he was never indicted. The court said that they would not even allow a case to happen against this particular police officer. So nothing happened to him. And I mean nothing. Okay? He is still in the force. He will get his pension. Blase, skippy, skippy, skip. So for Kyle's lawyer to stand in court and say, Some members of this community have shot a person 7 times and gotten away with it, and my client only shot 4. That was one of the nastiest things that anyone could say, and it gave such a disregard not only to Jacob Blake's life, but to any black person's life. Don't forget, Michael Vick went to jail for being involved in a pit bull fighting ring. Dogs, canines. He went to jail. This little boy, who's 18 now, he's still a little boy as far as I'm concerned, killed 2 adult men and wounded another and gets to go home free. Fierce. I was like, ooh, who can make this up? I can't make this up. Nope, can't make it up. Okay? In the meantime, Brother Julius Jones, who was scheduled to be executed on Thursday at 4 o'clock, he was not executed. Okay? But the governor changed his sentence to life without parole. Again, I need you to follow me. Julius Jones is apparently not guilty of any crime at all. It has to do with a murder crime, but he wasn't the murderer. There are witnesses that have attested to say that he's not the murderer. The actual murderer came out and said, I did it. Yet this child has been in jail for 20 years. And now the governor, who puts a stay on the execution, which is great because he gets to live, but then you give him a life sentence without parole. Mind you, the parole board gave him clemency a while ago. But the governor wants to keep him in prison. First it was death, then imprisonment. Really? How can that be? How can a parole board grant someone clemency and then the governor turn around and change the execution to a stay of execution where the person gets to live, but then you give the person who's completely innocent life without parole? You want to talk about a fight we have on our hands? This is intense. So like I said, you got Kyle that just gets out, even though he was having a lovely time taking pictures with the Proud Boys and the KKK and what have you. He had his bail posted by the KKK. The judge in the case was totally biased. There have been several articles written about the judge's bias, Judge Schroeder. Woof, he's a piece, honey. And yet and still, Julius Jones, who's been in jail for 20 years on something he did not do, on a murder he did not commit, but Kyle killed 2 people and he gets to run around. Even when I'm listening to the McMichaels testify in the Ahmaud Arbery trial, especially Travis, who didn't need to say anything. He should have just really shut up. Because prosecution tore him apart like confetti to me when she was like, okay, so he wasn't armed. He's like, yeah. He had on tennis shoes. Yeah. He had on shorts and a T-shirt. Okay, yeah. Like, he didn't have anything to even take anything in. You want to talk about this string of burglaries? There was only one 911 call to the police to say something had been stolen. There was not a whole barrage of calls about things being missing. Many people had gone into that house before and after. A white couple had gone in, kids had gone in there, all kind of things. Anybody could go in there because there were no walls. You could just walk right through. It wasn't a finished home. It didn't have a lock on it. There were no doors. It was a skeletal structure of which anyone or thing could enter in and get out of easily. But you want to use him as the example for the break-ins, even though he is just, what, jogging, in a jogging outfit. Then they wanted to talk about the brother's sneakers. I was like, I can't believe what I'm hearing. And we know good and darn well that not every one of us will buy professional running sneakers to go jogging. He's a football star. If he had on Air Jordans, he could jog in Air Jordans easily. He wasn't little and scrawny. A lot of cats in the hood will jog with some Jordans on. They don't have to have on some ASICs or some special running sneaker just to run. You run with what you have. Hello? I went running. I would go cycling. I didn't have special sneakers for that. I didn't get special running sneakers for, like, track until I was going to be running on track on a regular basis. Like, yeah, okay, I bought some running sneakers for track. Just to be running? As kids, we ran in whatever we had. So the arguments that were given, I mean, it's just absolutely insane after a while. And basically she painted him into a corner where he basically admitted, yeah, I killed a completely innocent person. Innocent, unarmed. And then you want to find it strange when you ride up alongside of him in your pickup truck, which has a Confederate flag on the front license plate. Now, if I'm a black man and I'm jogging daytime or nighttime, and a pickup truck comes up next to me with a Confederate flag on the front of it, we're going to have a problem. I'm not going to want to chit-chat with you. I'm not going to want to cooperate with you. Off the cuff, I'm running for my life. I don't know why he was running. What? And you have a shotgun, and another person with you with a shotgun, and another person in another vehicle with a shotgun. Really? And this is how y'all roll on a beautiful sunny day in February? This is what you do? No. So of course he would be on edge. Of course he's going to fight back. He punched me in the face. Yeah, he punched you in the face. You have a rifle. You're obviously coming to do harm to him. There's no misnomer about that. But yet and still, we want to look like we just don't understand why. I don't know why. Like, what? Very intense, y'all. I'm like, okay. Now, I'm not leaving yet, but I want to put a happy note in here. Good stuff. You know, things are always happening, and the universe is alive and well, okay? And it's like I said, when it comes to melanin-dominant people, we're some special folk, we're some beautiful, special people. Don't know if you heard, but a 25-year-old woman from Mali in Africa, she gave birth to 9 babies. 9. 9. 9. 5 boys, 5 girls and 4 boys. She was only expecting 7. She gave birth to 9 babies. Not only did she break a world record, but she didn't give birth to no little babies. Like, there's a picture of them. They are beautiful. They're fully formed. They're not little tiny preemies. They're not little tiny little. Mm-mm. These babies, what? They came out ready for action. The woman gave birth to a baseball team. In a time of COVID, in a time of craziness, all types of whatever, when the universe sees fit to bring forth 9 beautiful melanin-dominant babies, 9 beautiful babies, you better know there's still something right going on in the world. And she's happy. She's smiling. She's very happy in her pictures and stuff. But I'm telling you, when something like this happens, you better realize that there's some goodness going on in the world, and the universe does have certain things covered. So don't get too caught up in the BS and the craziness, okay? Like I said, seek the truth, seek the light, be love and light, you know, and shine that light onto each other so we can grow and rise above the fray and get out of the muck and the mire. Okay, love is everything. Love is the strongest vibration on this planet and in this universe. Love is the strongest vibration. Fear, hate, those types of vibrations, very low. No, they're not strong. They don't hold much weight. They're annoying, but they will never hold as much power as love. Never. So, again, being a purveyor of truth and a seeker of light, I really implore you, human family, to get as much truth as you can. Yes, you can have fun and you can recreate and hang out, and I'm not saying you can't do that, but please, when you do have other time in your day or in your life, read. Watch a documentary. Okay? Watch a lecture. You know, I'm still stuck right now on Dr. Joy DeGruy and her amazing lecture on how Karen's got to go to jail. That's the name of the lecture. It's two parts. Karen's got to go to jail, part one and part two. And it's awesome because she really goes back into the history of white female frailness in this nation and how it's been used against people of color, predominantly male, for centuries. And it's still happening. You know, when it comes to not necessarily tolerance, you know, it's not what I'm moving towards, because being tolerant of someone doesn't mean that you have respect for them. You just tolerate. My thing is for us to really understand, and overstand who we all are. I talk about this all the time. I think it's imperative. This is why we're lost as a race of people. Humanity in general, we are lost, okay? Melanin-dominant people are lost because they were enslaved by melanin-recessive people and treated so horribly for so long, we've lost our minds, okay? And the melanin-recessive people never had much of a mind to get, so they have lost themselves as well. So if everybody went around lost and don't nobody know nothing, how are we supposed to progress? We don't. Which is why we just have crime, and we have people being killed, and we have people being exonerated for killing these particular people. But then we turn on the television, and we're watching all this other stupidity, and we're watching grown men make millions of dollars to play a game, and women too, but, you know, predominantly men. You know, and we get enthralled with fantasy and what's not real. So then when we do hear something that is real, but it's very, very far-fetched and kind of out there, we just don't want to believe it at all. But we could sit around and watch these things in movies and programs all day and not connect them to reality. That's a good game. When I show you the truth in its truest light, wild as it is, like that movie Gattaca, when they were dealing with the different parts of your DNA and they were making people, hello? That's the reality. That's the reality. I was having a conversation about cloning. Cloning is happening. Okay? They were all excited. What was that? About 20-something years ago when they had cloned that little lamb. And everybody was all happy. You think that they're cloning lambs and they're cloning cow calves and what have you, that they're not cloning people. They've been cloning people. This isn't new. None of this is new. We've got all types of cell gene therapy, blah, 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 blah. We know how to make body parts in a petri dish with human cells and all this kind of stuff we can do. You think they can't make a whole body? You better wake up. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Crazy as it sounds. You know, if you missed my last two episodes, you might want to do yourself a favor and go back in the archives in the Neo Nation, excuse me, to check them out, because I went in depth as far as I could go with regard to the most recent research that I had obtained with regard to the blood of vaccinated people, people who've already gotten the stabby stab, what happens to the blood. And so I do continue to urge those of you who have participated in this experiment to get your blood work done on a regular basis, even if it's every other week, or maybe you can get some home tests, or you can talk to your doctor, see if y'all can make special arrangements, get a hookup, I don't care. But start doing your blood work so that you know how your blood is changing, because your blood is going to change. And the hematologists and the phlebotomists and the scientists that I follow and that I'm studying, their research is extensive, and these blood samples look really way out. They're not organic. So if you're in the process of turning yourself into an inorganic entity, I need you to be real careful. Excuse me, I'm drinking my alkaline lime water. I drink it every day. But I'm so serious. Like, you've got to take care of yourself. I always say our health is wealth. I would not want to be a millionaire and be bedridden with tubes up my nose and up my butt and everywhere, and I can't move, but I got all the money in the world. If that's the case, I'm just going to get my accountant to start writing checks and donating a lot of money to a lot of different, you know, organizations and philanthropic endeavors, because I can't use it if I'm in that situation. Our health is wealth. So be careful. Don't let them cheat you out of your health. Do not let them cheat you out of your birthright, which is to be a healthy entity on earth. Don't let them cheat you out of that. And some of y'all have. You say, okay. And some of you, again, highly intelligent people with degrees and professions. Some of you are doctors and lawyers and vice presidents of corporations, and yet and still everything went out the window when it came to your own body. That's a little scary. So get your blood work done, okay, and be aware of what's going on inside of you. Be aware of what is going on inside of you. Because, honey, we still haven't seen anything yet. And I know it. We still haven't seen that much yet. I'm like, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. You know, it's really interesting. Slightly scary, definitely interesting. I'm like, whoa. You know? And I love humanity. I love life. I love the animals and the trees and, you know, all living things. You know, I give respect to all living things. We have to go back, if you will, to basic things and basic living. Go outside and breathe fresh air. Talk to the trees and make friends with a bird. I mean, just relax. Come away from the craziness. Some of us are in some real fierce schedules where we just running. And we're running ourselves into the ground. And if you drop dead tomorrow, where your family going to be? How well will they be making out without you? Because you drove yourself too hard. You know, if you chain smoking cigarettes, please stop. I don't care what your nervous condition is. Stop chain smoking cigarettes. You're depriving yourself and you're damaging yourself in such a way. I'm not going to scold you if you smoke one cigarette a day or whatever. You might want to smoke something else. But when I see people who just light one cigarette up after the other one and you smell like an ashtray, your house smells like an ashtray. Your cars smell like an ashtray. It can be seen in your skin. Your eyes they're not white anymore. Like, you got to pay attention to what you're doing. You got to pay attention. Please. because there's just too much going on. I heard about a young man today, young, about 25, had a stroke. Whoa. And I know it's not impossible for young people to have a stroke. Of course it's not impossible, but it's not common. And so I was asking the person who told me about it, like, well, you know, were they really stressed out? Do they eat poorly? Do they smoke a lot of cigarettes? Like, you know, what's the situation? Because that's not just going to pop up out of nowhere. So be careful out here, fam. Please. Be careful and take time out that you need to take for yourself. Don't keep running. Sometimes you might need to spend the whole day in bed if that is what you feel. If you feel that tired or your body is aching or you just have too much on your mind or whatever, there is nothing wrong with just unplugging and be like, I'm taking a day off and I'm just going to lay in this bed. Maybe you may want to jot down a couple of notes about how you feel. But you have like a holistic self-therapeutic replenishing day. You are perfectly in your right to do so. And if you have taken ill of late, relax. Pull it back and lay down. Get some rest. The universe is tapping you on the shoulder saying, okay, I think I need you to take a little breaky break for a second, okay? I got you back, but I need you to kind of take a break for a minute. And a lot of us are like, I can't take a break. I got to make this money. I got to do this. I have to do that. And we get overwhelmed. Pull it back. Take it down. Breathe it in. I started tonight's program with the song Breathe that I had written a while ago. The particular track was done by Glenn Underground and Working Underneath in Chicago. But I wrote the song about the importance of breath. Like I said, just close your eyes, open your mind, search deep inside and release. Release. Serious. The peace you find will turn rain to sunshine when you breathe in the light. Breathe. And a lot of us are uptight. We're angry about what happened with the Rittenhouse thing. We're anxious about what's going to happen with the Arbery trial. We're anxious about all these different things that we really don't have any control over anyway. So I'm like, yo, fall back. You can watch, but don't get too excited about it. Don't let it take you outside of yourself. Don't let it rock and reel you. Okay? There's these people I follow on Instagram, 432 to Drop. Big shout out to 432 to Drop out in the West Coast. Building. They bought land. They're building this huge fence around their land. They're amazing. They're getting it done. They are not distracted with the bells and the whistles and the nonsense that's going on. They are building and doing what they need to do. You know, and even here in my own household, yeah, we'll watch it, we'll, you know, pay attention, but we're building, we're doing other things, we got things to do. You know, we have a lot of things scheduled that are coming up, so I can't stay stuck on what the news wants me to get excited about today when I know that I still have my life to live, I have things to handle, I've got a household to maintain with my husband and our family. No, I can't get all twisted up over. No, I'm not. So you got to know, like we said, no one to hold them and no one to fold them, honey. Some stuff we get excited about, and some stuff, baby, what you do, you let it ride. Let it ride. Let it ride. Let it ride. Because if I can't do anything about it, and my husband tells me this all the time, if I can't do anything about it, I'm not going to get that excited about it. If I can't do anything about it. And the one thing that we can do in certain situations is we can pray, we can meditate, we can talk to the Creator's Creator, we can, you know, those types of things. Yeah, we could do that. We could even go so far as to write letters. If you want to write a letter with regard to Julius Jones, well, not write a letter, excuse me, if you want to call Governor Stiff, the governor's telephone number is 405-521-2342. This is in regard to the case of Julius Jones, like I said, who just came off of death row but was given life without parole, and he's totally innocent. Call. Bombard that office with phone calls. You know, if you're upset about something that's even happening in your jurisdiction where you are, call your senator. Call your congressperson. Or email them. When they come in and they've got hundreds of messages from angry voters who voted for them and let them know, I'm not going to vote for you again because of blah, 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 blah. Baby, they listen. They're like, hold up, because they always want to keep their purse. Until they decide that they don't want to run anymore. They want to keep that purse. Look at Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham and how long they have been senators in the United States government. Look at Nancy Pelosi and how long she has been a senator. They want to keep that bag, baby. So if you threaten them with, I'm not voting for you because da-da-da-da-da, you can make certain changes. And then if they don't do what you ask, follow through and don't vote for them again. Because on those levels, it's the people that has the power. We may not have control over a presidential election, but we have control over congressional and senatorial elections, as well as mayoral and what have you. The local elections, baby, you better get, you can rock out on those. That's where you have more power. They've tricked us into thinking that our biggest opportunity is to vote for president. Okay, but we don't really vote for president. Our presidents are selected. They're not elected. So that's all a show. But your local officers, your local sheriff, people like that that you do have the power to vote for, that's in your hands. Use it. If you want to get something substantial done in your town, wherever you live, if you're building a school, if you're doing something magnanimous and you need them to co-sign it because you want to make sure you got a real serious ally, drop some money in their pocket. They will respond. Politicians work for money. So if you and your organization are doing something really profound and, you know you may not have support of the surrounding community necessarily, if you go to your mayor, your council people, even your Congress individuals, and you drop $500 in there, you know, like, oh, this is what we want to do, and we just really want to make sure everything's going to work out okay. Do we have your support? Can we, you know, count on you? Can you possibly speak to some of your constituents and see if we can get them on board? Blah, 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 blah. Lace them with like $500 to $1,000. Yeah, they'll do it. Because they know we made a deal. It's like a transaction. I'm giving you this money because I need this to happen. That is the truth of politics. So if you're doing stuff like that, get in where you fit in and make it happen. Just understand how the games are played and how to work around those rules. How to try to work around those rules, at least. Because it's really important. If you're one that really just believes that all the little sensational things that exist in our society, that we vote for president and that, you know, Columbus discovered America and, you know, that black people didn't do anything or whatever, if you just got all assuaged into that, then you're going to have some problems. Because that is not the reality of this nation, that is not the reality of who we are, and that is not the reality of why we're here. We're here for some real serious stuff. And I really don't know if we're aware of just how serious it is. So we start to get our panties in a bunch when we see an injustice done against someone, someone's killed, murdered in cold blood, you know, this particular situation. With the brother in prison, Julius Jones, you know, past 20 years, been in prison, about to be in prison for life and didn't do anything. Those kinds of things get us very impassionate. We get excited. And rightly so. because we can see clearly that justice is not being served. But again, I remind you, don't let it take you outside of yourself. Don't let it take you outside of yourself. Don't let it take you outside of yourself. Okay? Very important. If anybody has any questions, you can always jot something down and throw it in the chat if you're online with us. We do have a chat. So if you're online and it says up at the top of your page and it says chat, you can put something in the chat if you want to ask a question or anything. We've got about 10 minutes left. I'll give that a couple of seconds and see if anybody has any questions or any concerns about anything at all. You know, I want us to realize, family, that our planet is evolving at the fastest pace that we have ever seen, okay? The veil is lifted, all right? Pisces had a veil. Pisces was like, I can't really see through the veil. And anybody who's ever worn a veil or had something over their eyes and trying to see, it's not easy. It's not as clear, okay? So we've been veiled for the past 2,500 years. But the veil is lifted. It's done. So if the veil is lifted and you still cannot see, you're like, I can't see, then you are not in touch. You're not in touch with spirit or with the superior creature's creator as much or in a way that you think you are. I mean, you're connected. We're always connected. We can't not be connected. But you're not in touch with it if you can't see. If by now, if you can't see by now, then you're not in touch. If you're still in the same dynamic of woe is me and you want to still drag all your garbage everywhere and share it with everyone and you still want to have a pity party and sit in your own pile of woe, then you are not in touch with the Supreme Spirit. You're not in touch. Because this is a time where we are not to worry. This is a time when we are not to feel alone because you can't possibly be alone. I am in a room in my house right now by myself in the room. So I think, but I also know that I have ancestors in here with me. They're not visible, but they're here. I understand that. I'm okay with that. This thing we're living is way deeper than we perceive. And there's way more going on than meets the eye. And some things are hidden from our eye, so that it will not overly confuse our brain. Some of us can handle seeing a ghost or an apparition. Some of us cannot. Some of us don't have the conscious level to handle it. Some of us will immediately become afraid and scared and run. Some of us don't know the difference between a benevolent spirit and a malevolent spirit. We should, but we get confused. This is why we always burn incense and sage. Sage helps to get rid of any unwanted energy at all. Negative, slightly funky, doubtful, whatever, sage will get rid of it. When you are saging, make sure you open a window or two, okay? If you want to be real big with it on a beautiful summer day, you can open up your front door if it's warm enough. If you have a terrace or something, open that door. But you want to make sure you've got windows and doors open so that the energy can escape You cannot sage a room where the energy can't get out of it. Even if you're in a basement and the windows don't open, then the top door that went down to the basement, keep that door open and then open another door or another window upstairs. But the energy has to be allowed to escape. It's very important. And be sure to go up and down with your sage smudge in the corners of the room. All of the corners of the room. Hit the corners. Because energy lives in corners. Energy gets trapped in corners. Okay? So hit the corners, honey. And usually when I do a sage, if I'm saging the whole entire house, I'll start upstairs, generally in the master bedroom suite, and I will sage the closet. I will sage the bathroom. I will sage the entire bedroom. I'm coming out into the hallway. I'm saging the hallway, the guest bath, all the other rooms. I'm saging everything corner to corner. I come in, I hit the left first, boom, and I go around the whole room and come out. And I do that throughout the whole house until I'm finished. If I feel that there's negative energy in the house, then I will then literally speak and ask / command those negative energies to leave. They are not welcome and they are not wanted. They can leave. And I'm blowing the sage. I got the sage out. Very important. Again, we're in a time of instant manifestation. If you are not careful about what you're wishing for or what you want to have happen in your life, if you are not careful, it's going to pop up like a piece of toast. Be careful. Be aware. Be aware. And if you want real magic and beautiful things to happen to you, don't doubt anything and just know that the universe is infinite and so are you. So whatever you desire, you can have. And if it's for the betterment of other people, if other people will be blessed by your work, if other people will benefit from your work or be made to feel better by whatever it is that you have to offer, then it can and will manifest for you. But don't negate it. I tell all of my clients, do not put out a wish or a hope and then pee on it. Don't cast negativity onto it at all. Don't cast doubt onto it. Don't say, oh, I really would love for my company to flourish. I think that it's such a wonderful idea and it could really help so many people. And then go back and say, but I don't know if we can really do it, though. It might be far-fetched. It may be too much. I don't know if I got the capacity. Do I really have the time? I don't know. Don't doubt it. If it's what you wanted to do, yo, rock out with it. Get it out there and do it. Like Nike, do it. Just do it. And don't be afraid of your success. One thing I do find, human beings can be afraid of their own success, and therefore they will stay in their little bubble, in their little corner, in their little comfortable space because they're used to that and they're accustomed to it. But we have to break out of that. We're supposed to grow. So don't be afraid to succeed in your dream. Don't be afraid to succeed. It is amazing what we can do when we put our minds to whatever it is that we decide. It's awesome what we can do. I think we're so, well, honey, we're magnanimous. We are so fly. So just be that and do that. Sit in that. Whatever you decide to do at the end of this week, if you decide, like I said, to celebrate your ancestors or to celebrate Native American culture, and I mean Black Native American culture, which is the origin of Native American culture. Please do not ever twist that up. I'm talking about the real, real, real Native Americans here, okay? Not the ones that just came 6,000 years ago, but the ones who came 50,000 years ago. Those are African, okay? So sit in the truth. Live in the truth. Research it. There's an amazing book called The First Americans Were African by Dr. David M. Hotep. Amazing. That book is so fly. There's another book that's called When Rocks Cry Out by Horace Butler. Amazing books. Get these books. Read about who we are and who we were here on Turtle Island, North America. It's beautiful. And this is why I love studying history, especially our story. Because we're so beautiful and we've done so many amazing things. And so I'm going to just keep on pushing it. I'm going to keep teaching it. I'm going to keep vibing with that. But as we move into this Thursday, which they do call Thanksgiving, some people call it Misgiving, some people call it Thanksgiving, whatever you call it, if you're going to do anything on that day, just remember our ancestors. Remember your ancestors and remember all of our ancestors who sacrificed so much so that we would be here today. To me, that is what Thanksgiving is, that we are still here and thriving and growing and becoming more and more beautiful every day is what I give thanks for. And I also give thanks for you. I'm thankful for my parents for having me and raising me right. I'm thankful for my wonderful husband who loves me more than any other man has ever loved me on the face of this earth other than my father. And I love him more than any other human I have ever known. I give thanks for that. I give thanks for his family, everyone being well and strong and healthy. I give thanks for his children being well and strong and healthy, or our children at this point. I give thanks for our grandchildren being strong and healthy and smart and just awesome human beings. I give thanks for my friends who love and support me. I give thanks for all of the beauty and the reverence and the magnificence of this experience that we call life. Until I do it again, I give thanks for this one. So be love and light in the world, family. Shine your light and be brilliant. Always seek the truth. It will raise you up and keep you high. Be kind to strangers. Be kind to the elderly. Take care of the babies and protect them. Let's have each other's back out here so we can build a better world for ourselves and everyone who came after us. Because we can do whatever we want to do. When we put our minds to it, we can do whatever we want to do. The universe supports everything that we want to do. So let's do it, and let's shine, and let's love each other and make a better world. Thank you for joining me this week. You have been listening to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am Black Alice, Queen Amina. And God willing, Goddess willing, I'll be back next Monday, next Moonday, same time and same channel. Give a big shout-out to the Neo Nation Network, myprojectneo.org, and the Ethiopian World Federation. Big shout-outs. Boop, 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 boop. Love and light to everybody within the sound of my voice, and be love and light to others in the world. Shine your light and shine it brightly because nobody can be you but you. I support you. I love you. I salute you. Ashe, one love family, and y'all be good out there in the hood. Whether you're in the hood or whether you're in the woods, be good. All right, one love fam. Peace. And if you need good music in your life, please go to SoundCloud.com and look up DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL. He's got two. Well, three now, dope mixes between God Made Us Funky Part 1 and Part 2, as well as If You Didn't Know, Now You Know, check them out. Get your life. Feel good, family. We got to feel good, all right? Be love and be light. Thank you so much again, and one love. Peace. Peace, family. Good night. One love.